Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Try that again, Brian. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Sweatman.
It would be a little weird.
That city was not named after me for a trip to the buffet.
Right. That might work with a catfish tour whenever we're at Seafood Junction.
Yes.
If they could put a Seafood Junction in Sweatman.
Yeah, perfect.
There will be many a sweaty man coming up to the buffet. Barreling up to the buffet.
I've been back to Seafood Junction. I don't know the answer.
We've talked about it. We just haven't been able to make it over.
It's just one of those things you're like, it sounds good on paper. And then you're like, you realize you got to drive an hour and 20 minutes.
Right. And on the way back, you're going to be bloated and we need to sleep.
We need a driver. We need somebody to take us, not eat. They can't eat. We'll give them some.
Can we get a Furio? Who's going to be our Furio?
Furio. Yes, that's what we need. We need that. We need young Chrissy to take. You're going to pick us up. You're going to take us to the restaurant. You're going to wait outside. Yeah. I remember when you used to wait in the car.
We need a ponytailed man with a nice car to take us around.
The old Alabama basketball strength coach available? What's he doing?
That'll work.
It's Logan Lowry's guy. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. Every click, every purchase. Supports the Bulldog Initiative, just like you do with our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. That's the slogan, but what does that mean? It means that whatever you need to get people in the door, Pip Printing and Signs has a solution for you. If it's new signage on the front, if it's mailers, if it's just marketing materials, whatever it is to get your message out there, Pip Printing and Signs can do that for you. 30 years of experience doing it for businesses here in this state. Bulldog owned and operated. Camden Baker is the guy to talk to, and he's so dedicated to customer service. He's not giving you the number to the front desk there. He's giving you his number. You're going to talk to the owner of this company when you call him at 601-499-5216. Tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning, and whatever sale you make with them, 10% of that goes back to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. That is a deal you cannot pass up. Pip Printing and Signs, when you need Pip Printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Not just clothes. They have a great selection. But if you've got an old Banner M flag on the house, time for it to go. Time to get a State Script flag out there. If you've got a Banner M tag on your car, time for it to go. Time to get a State Script tag on there. If you've got a Banner M Yeti cup, or if you've got a Banner M plates and stuff, it's got to go. We got to get it out. Everything must go. Clearance sale. Get it out of here. And we're replacing it with brand new stuff with the State Script on it. And you can get it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flowed by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. Do you have to cover the SEC Women's Basketball Tournament?
No.
You're not going to Greenville?
No.
All right, so Thursday you want to get lunch at Restaurant Tyler?
That's a possibility.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Well, the game's at 11, so.
The game is at 11 on Thursday?
Yes.
You want to go on Wednesday?
Again, possible. I'll let you know.
You're playing hard to get. I don't like it.
It's the only way I know.
You're such a tease. Well, I'm going to go without you if that's what it comes to. And you'll have no one to blame but yourself. And I'm going to send you pictures of my fried catfish and my cheese grits and my mac and cheese and my cornbread. And there's nothing you can do to stop me.
How dare you?
That's right. So maybe that's just the way it's going to be. And if you're going to get lunch in Starkville this week, make sure you make a trip to Restaurant Tyler, the best blue plate in the city. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. They are here to serve you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com. Find a location near you and open an account today that's going to benefit you and yours for many years to come. Priority One Bank is a bank that allows you to have the flexibility and the power of a big corporate bank, but none of the runaround that those kind of banks give you. You're going to talk to a person that you know in your community. That makes a big difference to me. I like to do business with the people I know. I think you guys do too. So let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Take a deep breath here. You know what that was? You know what that smell is? You know what that is? That's the smell of football, my friend. We're about to talk some spring football. It's time.
Yes.
It's time. We're starting our positional breakdowns. We're going to start our previews this week. I've already lined up my Alabama interview. We'll do that later this week. And you have started your spring previews on series on that On3 website I was telling you about. You finally got a job with them. And I think the timing couldn't be better because I want to talk about quarterbacks, and that's what you're going to be writing about this week. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we didn't even I don't remember even discussing this topic with you.
No, because I don't give a crap what you write. I just, I don't care.
I know. You don't care anything about me. I know that.
I read Paul's stuff.
Oh, you just don't read any of my stuff. One of your best friends and your podcast co-host. You don't support me.
Tanner's stuff is great. I know
how this is. No, I'm starting my positional pre-spring depth chart breakdown, whatever, this week because we're 2 weeks as this is being posted today. We're 2 weeks away from spring practice beginning. I think it starts on the 17th. Is that right?
I don't know if they've officially 19th. Announced that, have they?
I don't know if it's been made public, but I think it's the 19th, I think, is the first day of spring practice, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I think
I'll be
where
in
we
Sunshine
are.
State, Denver, Colorado, when that happens.
Yes, the Windy City.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's right here, man, and – I'm really excited to see what this spring holds for Mississippi State. There's a lot of question marks, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You got a new coach, got a lot of new faces. It's going to be fun. I'm excited to be breaking down each position group and kind of digging in a little bit to what they've got. And I might miss some guys because they don't have a roster posted yet. So a lot of it is me just going off of, you know, the top of my head or looking online at the, you know, the recruiting class and things like that. So it's going to be a nice little challenge.
Yeah. So let's start with the quarterbacks. And that room obviously has got two new faces in it. And the returning starter, who I can't help. I like Chris Parson, but I'm going to laugh every time I get to refer to him as freshman all SEC when he completed like five passes last year.
Right.
There was just no freshman quarterback. It makes me laugh, but. Let me ask this, because we all know Shapen coming in from Baylor, Blake Shapen, that's a big deal. Michael Van Buren, four-star quarterback, highly rated guy, flipped from Oregon, that's a big deal. How open is this quarterback competition in your mind? Is there a scenario where Van Buren could win this job as a true freshman? Is there a scenario where Parson beats out Shapen?
To me, I think it's going to be open. I think it's going to be a situation where everybody's going to get their shot or whatever. I just think that by the first few practices, it's going to be, if he's healthy, it's going to be pretty clear Blake Shapen's the guy. That's my thought process on it. I think it is open, but I think it's going to be closed relatively quickly if he performs up to snuff and how he's supposed to. The wide open nature of it's going to be behind him. Who is going to be the backup quarterback? Because I think there's going to be a really good battle between Michael Van Buren and Chris Parson. I think Parson is going to take a step this offseason. He should be a better quarterback. We've kind of seen the ability that he has. I like the things he's flashed with, but he just hasn't been on the field enough to really hone in on those skills and get the experience like Blake Shapen has. So I think Shapen is going to be the guy. I'm really interested to see who ends up being number two, because if it's Van Buren that quickly, then I think you've got something special there. If he's quickly picking things up to the point where he's already passed Chris Parson in 1 year, and he's maybe even pushing Blake Shapen, then you have a really good quarterback on your hands. And wouldn't shock me if that happens. It would not shock me in the least if he is the number two. Jeff Lebby already loves the kid. He fits what he wants to do. So that's what I'm looking at the most. Who is going to be the guy that's pushing Blake Shapen? Because to me, I feel like Shapen's going to be the unquestioned number one.
I tend to agree with you. The only thing that makes me wonder is sometimes coaches have their guys. And that was Garrett Schrader for Joe Moorhead, right? You know, when Tommy Stevens went down, he didn't go to any of the guys that he had behind him. He went straight to his guy, Garrett Schrader. And if Moorhead had stayed, Schrader was going to be the starting quarterback for the next 3 years at Mississippi State. Michael Van Buren is Jeff Lebby's guy. We talked about that during his recruitment, that, you know, he was committed to Oregon, and as soon as Lebby got a head coaching job, he flipped within, what, a week of that happening? So, you know, and he's a different kind of quarterback than Shapen and Parson. He's a different kind of athlete, so I think he's just very intriguing. I don't know that he would throw him out there in the fire as a true freshman, but I definitely agree with you that he could supplant Parson as the number two. And it's kind of – this is the nature of the beast of recruiting, and especially when you have a staff change, is that just a year ago we were all super excited for the future of Chris Parson, and this was going to be the next guy at Mississippi State who, you know, gave you the passing and the running and was going to be a great player. And here we are a year later, and we're like, well, this guy, he might be the third-string quarterback. It's funny how that stuff works. But Shapen is probably the guy. And I think if you look at Shapen's career, there's obviously we get to play the Ben Portnoy game, right? We're going to have to throw a butt in there. He's been really productive, but he's had trouble staying healthy. And, you know, kudos to Jeff Lebby that he understood that he had to put some protection in front of him, went out in the transfer portal and signed four offensive linemen. Shapen has proven, though, that he can play at this level, that he can play big-time college football, that he can be productive. And the Jeff Lebby system has turned out three outstanding college quarterbacks: Mackenzie Milton, Matt Corral, Dylan Gabriel. We're sort of playing that. Now, this is a dangerous game, Robbie, because we played it last year with Kevin Barbe, when we looked at what Barbe had done in years prior and tried to ascertain what Will Rogers was going to do, and it just didn't work out. I by the way, just as an off note, I may have never been more interested in watching another team this year than I am in watching Houston, because if that offense is good, I'm going to put every bit of the blame on Zach Arnett at that point. But that's for another day. I mean, we should be able to pencil whoever the starting quarterback is, assuming they stay healthy, in for 3,000-plus yards, 25 to 30 touchdowns, and then the interceptions will just be what they are, because that's what the Jeff Lebby system has provided in the past. How high is the ceiling for Shapen, do you think, in this offense? Can he be potentially an all-SEC guy?
That's going to be tough based on the fact that he's got, you know, the Jalen Milroes and mm-hmm. Jackson Darts and the guys that have proven it in their system for a while.
You didn't even mention the first two guys I would vote all SEC, Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, it's going to be tough.
I don't know if you know this or not. Richard was not aware of this, but Texas and Oklahoma have joined the SEC. They will be playing football here this season.
What?
Yes.
Who said?
The SEC.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's going to be tough for him to get to that stage, but I think he can be a guy that puts up some really good numbers in year one. Mm-hmm. The whole key to me is being healthy, because I thought he was really good at Baylor, and you know, that's not a team that was known for its offense over the last few years under Dave Aranda. I mean, they kind of take on the identity of their coach. They're a really good defensive team. for a couple of those years. So, I mean, it hasn't really been – in the past they have, but, you know, since the, you know, well, ironically, the, you know, the Jeff Lebby time period and pulling from his offensive background with Art Briles, they haven't exactly been the offense that they were. Mm-hmm. So, you know, him being able to be productive in that offense like he was, which was 5,500 yards basically in two seasons. One year he was off the bench, but basically in 2 years, over 5,000 yards, about 5,200 yards in those last two seasons, which is pretty good. And threw 13 interceptions, I think 36 touchdown passes. So pretty solid touchdown to interception ratio. His completion percentage is 64%. He's a guy that takes care of the football. He's got an accurate arm, can throw it deep, can throw it underneath. I think he has what it takes to put up some big numbers in this offense. And it's really a good fit for Mississippi State and what they're trying to do in year one with Jeff Lebby, because you do have these younger guys that are really talented but haven't had the experience that you don't want to throw into the fire just yet. To be able to go out there and get a guy that's in his fourth year that's played Power 5 football in an offense that can be explosive at times and has a few of the same similarities to it as what Jeff Lebby likes to do, I think that was a really good fit for Mississippi State. Now, it would have been nice to get a Dylan Gabriel or somebody like that, of course. But they got a guy that I think is perfectly capable of coming in and helping Mississippi State compete in the SEC in Jeff Lebby's year one. And I like the fact that he's going to have most of his targets already on campus this spring to work with in spring practice, in the summer to throw to a little bit. He's thrown a good bit to Kelly Akari. He's already starting to spin it a little bit with Stonka Burnside and Jaden Wally and all these guys. So he's going to have that connection with them for, you know, several months leading up to the season.
Just a real quick look at the stats of the guys Lebby has coached. Mackenzie Milton, now he got injured, obviously, at the end of the 2018 season, but he threw for 2,600 yards in 10 games, 25 touchdowns to 6 picks, rushed for 307 yards there. The next year, Dylan Gabriel takes over, 3,600 yards passing, 29-7 is your touchdown to interception ratio. Not the running threat, obviously, that that Milton was. So he only had 78 yards rushing on 71 carries. Then you go to Oxford, to Ole Miss. Corral throws for 3,300 yards. 29-14 is the interception rate. We've talked about that a few dozen times before, that 11 of his 14 interceptions were in two games that season. You know, I mean, just being honest, I mean, that's not bad. And he also rushed for 506 yards that first year. Really came into his own the second year, threw for 3,300 yards again, 20-5, cut his interceptions by 11, and then rushed for another 614 yards. I don't know if Chapin is the same kind of running threat that I think Chapin is somewhere between Gabriel and Corral as far as a runner, right? I think that
he's swift enough that he can escape the pocket.
He can be a plus runner, but he is. I don't know that he's going to get 600 yards rushing like Corral. If you remember that year, Corral had, I think he had a couple of games where he was well over like 125, 130 yards rushing. Remember the Tennessee game?
And like how often is he going to be willing to just cut it up and run? I don't know. But he's a guy that if he gets flushed out of the pocket, he can roll out. He sees the play breaking down.
Just continuing real quick, Dylan Gabriel at Oklahoma, 3,200 yards in his first year there. 25-6 is the touchdown interception ratio. Better job running the football that year. 315 yards rushing, 6 touchdowns. And then of course last year, Oklahoma, one of the top. Was that last year? No. What am I doing here? Here we go. One of the top offenses in the country, fourth overall in scoring offense. Gabriel threw for almost 3,700 yards, 30-6 is your touchdown ratio. Gabriel got better as a runner, as you can tell, almost 400 yards rushing and 12 touchdowns. So maybe I'm underselling him a bit in what he's able to do in the running game. 12 rushing touchdowns is pretty impressive for a quarterback. So we say all that to say that stars are aligned for Mississippi State to be good on offense this year. We'll talk about the defense when we get there. We all know the question marks surrounding that. But whoever wins this job should put up big numbers. And I think, like I said, I think your opening day, your first weekend starting lineup, your depth chart, your top three would be Shapen, Parson, Van Buren. But by midseason, Van Buren might overtake Parson, in which case Parson will hit the portal and we all move on with our lives from there. I like Shapen. I like this quarterback room. It is unproven. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm looking around the SEC. I mean, Mississippi State has one of the more unproven quarterback rooms out there. You know, nobody has done it. Shapen is the most proven guy on that list, and there's injury questions with him. I think the reason I'm optimistic is that Jeff Lebby has just been successful with quarterbacks wherever he's gone.
Yeah, there's no reason to doubt him at this point. It's kind of my same thinking on the offense, too. And we talk about, is it just a Mississippi State thing? They're just not going to have an exciting offense. Well, I mean, you say that, and we kind of started thinking back at Mike Leach. And I know the offense wasn't super exciting, but he did everything that he did anywhere else as far as production is concerned. The yardage was there. The points started ticking up that way. So, his offense still translated here. I think that Jeff Lebby is going to do the same thing. A lot of people have compared this. It could be a Moorhead. It very well could. But I just think that everywhere he's been has been a certain way. I think we have enough evidence that shows that Jeff Lebby is what he is on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
I think you can argue on Joe Moorhead, his has a lot to do with some of the personnel that he's had.
Yeah.
Jeff Lebby has worked with whatever he has had everywhere he's been. Mm-hmm. He wasn't hand-delivered five-star quarterbacks.
Right.
He took over a UCF. He recruited a three-star quarterback in Dylan Gabriel, who became a Heisman candidate, put up a billion yards, and is still playing and is going to be Oregon's quarterback this year. That wasn't a five-star quarterback. That was a guy that he recruited out of high school that was three stars. Matt Corral was a backup quarterback that was about to transfer from Ole Miss. He couldn't beat out John Rhys Plumlee in the Rich Rodriguez offense. And while immensely talented, he wasn't getting it done. Jeff Lebby helped make him a Heisman contender and an NFL quarterback. He had the talent, but Jeff Lebby helped kind of mold that into what he became. And then, Dylan Gabriel at Oklahoma, we saw what he did there. So far, there's – and Mackenzie Milton too. So far, there's nothing that suggests that he can't do that at Mississippi State as well with Blake Shapen, Michael Van Buren, Chris Parson, whoever.
You raise an interesting question that we may have to dig deeper into on a future podcast. Is Lebby more Mullen or more Moorhead? That's an interesting thought process. I lean Mullen just because of the resume and the fact that, like you said, wherever he's been successful, and it hasn't been just related to the personnel that he had. But obviously, you never know. So we'll come back to that another time, though. So all right. Quarterbacks.
I'm leaning towards Mullen.
I am too. I am, but I just.
But you just don't know until you.
I'm done with the optimism. I'm done with it.
Here's one thing I'll say about it. I watch these videos. It's very early, but I watch these videos and how he interacts with the team, some of the things that he's implementing in workouts. There's some of that same grit and toughness in those workouts that we saw when Mullen first got here. You remember those mat drills that they used to do that Dak Prescott and those guys talk about? I just some of that stuff and knowing his background and offense, I just get a lot more. It's not so much like catchphrases and things like that we saw from Moorhead. I get a sense that he's a ball coach. He knows what he's doing as a head coach. And let's be honest, had he not been tied to Art Briles, he would have been a head coach earlier than he has been. That's just a fact. That has followed him around, and had that not been tied to him, he would be coaching somewhere as a head coach far earlier than he has. But that's just the reality of the situation. But I can promise you, that's a guy that would be a head coach somewhere else right now had all that not come to pass.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. So, quarterbacks in the books, running backs next week. We'll talk about that's a room again that's got some big questions. You know, it's crazy. We've talked about the defense and all the questions, but there are questions on offense too. That's why this season is going to be a very interesting one for Mississippi State. We'll talk running backs next week, and then as I mentioned earlier, we will do our first spring wraparound, first spring preview, whatever you want to call it. For Alabama this week. Nick Alvarez from AL.com is going to join me later this week. We'll talk to him about the Crimson Tide. That is a talk about change. Talk about questions. Nope. Is it fair? Is this a fair statement? Are you ready for this? Does anybody have more questions than Alabama?
It's got a little bit of a point there.
Yeah, we'll go into that deeper when we get to that interview. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. I have literally never been anywhere and said, I'm going to eat a steak, and then been sad afterwards. It's just it's never happened in my life.
I had me a steak on Saturday night. Woo. Really good.
Yeah. See?
Yep.
Everybody's happy when you're cooking with beef. So the weather, I can't get over how nice the weather has been. I fear that there's something's coming, but I'll worry about that when I get there. I'm going to enjoy.
That's a tornado that's coming.
I don't know.
Usually
tornado or just another cold snap. We get like a week of like temperatures.
It's usually a tornado then a cold snap.
Okay. Well, I was trying to.
You know how the spring. You know how the spring works.
See, that's what happens when I try to be positive. You know, it doesn't work for me. But I am positive. I like steak. So beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you're looking for. So Tyler this week, Two Brothers next week. Is that what we're trying to figure out here?
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
Why not both? Restaurant Tyler and Two Brothers. Why not both?
I just felt a little twinge. It's like, ooh, made me happy.
It's a revelation.
Yeah, we could do both. Why not both? And get the little girl. Yay!
Aha!
A little eureka moment there. Eureka, Mississippi. We talked about that the other day.
Yeah.
If you're going to enjoy some smoked Southern soul food, you're going to do it at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. A great menu of favorites. That's not just barbecue. It's a lot more than that going on that menu. So check them out in the heart of the Cotton District, the home of Smoked Southern Soul Food and a Bulldog Initiative business, Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. And there you go. That's all you need to know, right? That's you're talking about 49 years worth of being in business. Nobody stays open that long unless their customers are repeat customers. And you get repeat customers with service after the sale. Anybody can sell you something. You can go to any, you know, big box store and buy whatever. But what do they do for you after the sale? Oh, you got to call this 1-800 number, and you're going to probably be on hold for like 30 to 40 minutes. And then they'll schedule a technician to come out, and maybe a week to 10 days, we can get you fixed. Who has time for that? Why not deal with the Mississippi business where you're going to talk to the same people who made you the sale? That's what Advantage Business Systems is. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you are coming to Starkville for any event, if you're going to be at a basketball game at the Hump, if you're going to be at a baseball game at Diddy Noble, you're going to be at a football game, Davis Way Stadium, wherever you're going, before you go to the game, go to Maroon & Co. and pick up some new gear. We've been talking about it for weeks now. The Banner M, it's finally reign of terror is over at Mississippi State, and we can move forward under a new logo that we all like, the state script. You got to get new gear, and they've got great, unique items at Maroon & Co. Also, as we've mentioned many times, they are the official provider and the exclusive provider of Bulldog Initiative logo wear. So if you want to wear the hoodies, the polos, the stuff that the coaches are wearing, that Jeff Lebby's wearing, that Chris Jans is wearing, you need to get it at Maroon & Co. Before you head to the game, head to Maroon & Co. So today, I think it was today, or maybe, I don't know. I could be wrong. Well, is there a date on this? Let me. Yeah. Since this is the first one here, I guess. They put out the, our friend Warren Nolan has got the baseball RPI up and running. And you got to scroll down if you want to find Mississippi State. Currently sitting at 192 in the rankings there. Just behind some powerhouse programs like Longwood, Western Michigan, Gardner-Webb, and incredibly, Mississippi Valley State. There you go. Make the noise. Now, it is early. Right? There's no getting around that it's early. And when you get into SEC play, the RPI tends to take care of itself for the most part. If you win. Currently, when you look at the RPI, when you look at who State's going to have to play, they're in the top 20, they're playing 2, 7, 8, 9, and 12 in three-game series. That's Arkansas, Alabama, Texas A&M, Georgia, Florida. They don't play Kentucky this year. I'm right in that, correct?
I think that's correct.
Okay. Arkansas, number 2 currently. You got to scroll down a little bit more. LSU's at 32. And then, you know, you start seeing – yeah, you gotta start scrolling at that point to find Auburn, to find Vanderbilt's RPI is low right this second, despite the fact they had a pretty good weekend. Southern Miss, State's opponent tomorrow, or tonight, I guess, as you're listening, is at 104 in the RPI. So, again, State's it's going to go up, but so is everybody else's at the same time. It's not like, you know, if you look and let's say Auburn is currently 72nd in the RPI. If State jumps up 50 spots to one, which by the way would only be a jump to 140, and Auburn jumps up 50 spots, they go from 72 to 22. And that's, this is problematic. You know, never, just never mind the idea, never mind the thought process of if State can't beat Austin Peay and can't sweep Georgia Southern, things like that, what are they going to do in SEC play? They've dug a hole. They're already in a huge hole when it comes, because they're not going to be in a position to host, right? They're not going 18 and 12 in the conference or anything like that. If they get in, they're going to get in by the skin of their teeth, and they have not done a good job of prepping up their resume to do that right now, just looking at these numbers.
Yeah, I mean, the RPI would take care of itself if they were won an SEC play, but I have a hard time believing they're going to win a lot of games in SEC play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the issue that you have there. So the fact that you've played such a terrible non-conference schedule, which, by the way, the team they swept this week coming into the weekend on Warren Nolan was like second to last in the entire country.
Mount St. Mary's made a big jump in the they went from 304 to 298.
Yes.
Oddly enough, one of the teams that they lost a series to, Norfolk State, is behind them. They're dead last at 305. So,
yeah, and this is why you couldn't afford to lose like more than two or three games in non-conference play. And three of those losses came against teams that you didn't need to lose to at all, Austin Peay and Air Force. Georgia Southern, losing one out of three to them, I think that's going to be a solid team. But, it's a weird schedule. You played a super soft non-conference schedule, and you're about to play a murderer's row conference schedule. And unless you're winning a lot of games here down the stretch, this non-conference did nothing for you. It's, if you get to 14 conference wins, you're still going to have probably a relatively high RPI, I would imagine. You're not going to be highly ranked and have an opportunity to host a regional or anything like that. So it's not looking good, but we'll see. I mean, they've got a chance to prove it in conference play. They're going to have every opportunity to do it themselves.
Yeah.
But, you're talking about with this non-conference, you're going to have to win 16 conference games to be in good shape, and that's against you know, some of the best competition in the country.
Yeah. Looking at who State's played already, Georgia Southern is 78 in the RPI. They're 4-7 on the year. Air Force also 4-7 on the year. They're at 129 in the RPI. Austin Peay, now they also be is 10-2, so that's good for you, but they're 97th in the RPI. We already talked about Mount St. Mary's. Jackson State is 292 in the RPI. Again, I know it's early, but it's worth looking at. Here's one that's kind of struck me is a team like Tennessee currently. Let me see if I can find. I had them just a second ago. Tennessee is currently 85th in the RPI. They're 11-1. You know that by the middle of the season they're going to be a top 15 RPI team because they're going to win games, and so yeah. they're going to shoot up here. And somebody who I just mentioned. Georgia Southern is at 78, right? They're 4-7 at this point. They're going to continue to fall. They're going to be that's going to end up being a sub 100, maybe even 150 loss for Mississippi State. Austin Peay will probably end up being a sub 100, sub 150 loss. And the same with Air Force. And those are not good losses for Mississippi State on this resume. State has, and I want to point this out. We talked about State possibly having an undefeated week this week. Obviously, that would be great for Mississippi State. But don't forget, last year, around this time, going into conference play, they reeled off an 8 or 9 game winning streak at that time as well. And we all know how that turned out. So I'm not buying in anything just out of this winning streak that they're currently on. They're going to have to prove it when we get to SEC play. Because that's the only way Mississippi State's getting into the NCAA. Their strength of schedule is not such that they can go 13-17, and you can look at them and go, well, they played an incredible non-conference and were successful in it, so maybe they could sneak in. We've talked about 14-16, Robbie. With this non-conference, they may need to be 500. They may not. 14 might not get them the benefit of the doubt.
Possibly,
and I don't. Again,
I think the numbers bear it out that it would, but this non-conference is going to drag them down a good bit. Important thing for Mississippi State is they just have needed confidence. They need to learn how to win again and go from there. I wasn't just totally against Chris Lomonas doing this, because the risk that you take if you do play a tough schedule early and you lose, last year they played Ohio State and Oklahoma. Those are usually competitive teams.
Yeah.
The year before they played Long Beach State. They didn't turn out to be very good, but they scheduled a little tougher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a team that can handle that and take some of those lumps early, like the 2016 team did, they – at one point had lost 5 or 6 non-conference games or something.
But then they went 20-10.
Right. A team, there's teams that can handle that, but we don't know if this team can handle taking a couple of losses early. So I didn't really have anything to say negatively about that schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But then you lost some of those games. So right. At this point, it just doesn't matter.
Here's the truth of the matter. Let's really break down the math, right? 14-16 means that you are going to split your series and maybe get swept once, right? You're going to win 5, you're going to lose 5, and in one series you get swept. That's what that means. Look at State schedule and tell me the 5 teams are going to beat in the series. Now, I'll give you Ole Miss and Missouri. Those are not good teams. State could win those series, right? Alabama is doing that thing right now that Alabama always does, which is they start the season off like you just look up the first week in a conference play. You're like, wow, Alabama is 20-1, but then they never, are that good throughout the rest of the season. So, but that's
State has owned them,
but State has been successful against them. So I'll give I'll go there. I'll give you that one. Give me the other two.
They haven't beaten LSU at home since 2003. Right.
They're not winning at Florida. They're not winning at A&M.
I don't think they're going to win at A&M.
Georgia?
I think they could potentially start the season 1-8.
Yeah. They could start at something else too.
Yeah.
They could. So
Georgia
is interesting.
Winnable.
But Georgia has some power hitters, and I mean they're not a bad team. Wes Johnson has got that team going in the right direction right now. So it's just iffy. It's just iffy. They're going to have to win games that, as we sit here on March 4th, we don't expect them to win. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and it's hard to imagine it happening.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So we'll keep our eyes on that as we go. All right.
The better question is, do you think they can get more than 9 wins, which is what they've had the last 2 years
in conference play?
Yeah. I think they can,
but I mean, I think if they do, it's going to be like 10 or 11. It's not going to be enough. I'll say this today. I don't see this team getting 14 wins and getting in the NCAA tournament. Simple as that. That's as simple as I can make.
Fair. I don't know if I do either right now.
Yeah. All right. Tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. You know what to do. Send in your questions. We will discuss whatever you want to discuss on tomorrow's program. Guys, have a great Tuesday. Back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.